5. If you want to take notes, they're on the back of that bulletin. And you have the main points there. If you were able to fill out the visitor card before the offering, thank you. If you were not able, you can still fill it out and drop it at the little table on your exit later on this morning. We just like to follow up when we have visitors if we can. Acts chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence here today. It's wonderful to know your joy, your peace. It's wonderful, Lord, to just sense you in our midst and in our hearts. And now, Lord, we're looking at a message that is challenging in some ways, but in another way, it's quite easy because we just simply have to trust in you. I pray, Lord, that you will honor us as we look to your word. Help me to speak your words of truth, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Patience. Got a couple examples. Our children often learn what it is to be patient by traveling. So I've got two examples of those that were traveling and how it went over. There was a little boy with his father traveling across state because they were going to go hunting together. He's just a young boy tagging along with dad, and it was a long, long drive. So as they're traveling along, every 50 miles, the son would ask his father if they were almost there. How many can relate to that story? The father answered that they had quite a distance to travel yet, so the son waited a few more minutes and he asked his father again, which was not the second time, but many times over, "Sorry, son, we have another 100 miles yet to go." So the son thinks about it for a little bit and he says, "Daddy, am I still going to be 4 years old when I get there?" It's tough to be patient. Now, this one's a little bit more personal. A pastor and his wife were traveling to visit Grandpa and Grandma for Christmas, and their daughter, in this case, was named Rachel, and she asked the inevitable question, "Are we almost there?" The father said, "No, we still have 150 miles yet to go." She asked, "Well, how long is that?" "Well, Rachel, it's about 3 more hours. She didn't say anything for a few minutes, and as she thought about it, what 3 hours might be, she leaned forward from the back seat to the front, making sure that she could see her mother's face, and she said, "Mommy, is that as long as one of Daddy's sermons?" I hope that's not my situation. Well, we're going to learn a little bit about patience. Here it is. The Greek word in Galatians that translates as patience, we're going to get a little technical here. It means movement of air or water. Yeah, that's what I did when I looked it up. Huh? I did one of those dog things, you know, put the head to the side. Movement of air or water. And gradually came to be used to describe anger. So the word patience in the Greek literally had something to do with anger. Movement of water or air in anger. And so here's how it's understood. A movement, a violent movement, to well up, to boil, or to blow up. And you think, well, that doesn't sound like patience, does it? Well, when you put it all together, the answer is simple. Patience is long anger. It's a long welling up, a long boiling until it finally does blow. It takes a long time to get there. In relationship to anger, it's called long anger. You may have heard it in your King James Version as something very similar, which you probably didn't realize, is long-suffering. A person who takes a long time to boil up, well up, and blow up, not a quick-fused person. That's what a patient person would be. Another Greek word that translates as patience, there's more than one in our New Testament, by the way. Another one says this, remains under. So you got the long anger, which is a more literal interpretation of the one, And this one is remains under. And this word as patience means strength to carry the load, to remain under. The bottom line is that patience is developed in us through adversity. Think about it. Why would you never pray for patience? Because you cannot experience patience without adversity. There must be a burden in order for you to actually express patience. Long anger. A quick-fused person would have something happen and boom, blow right up. Oh, that makes me so mad. Right? Any little thing. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not patience, right? That's not long anger. Also, when it's a heavy burden, if you're patient, you just keep on bearing that load. And you just keep on trying. It's hard, but you know it's got to happen. And you, under the burden of what it is, carry it. Someone who's not patient would throw the load right off. That's not my job. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not happy with the way this is turning out. But you're patient, so that doesn't happen. Will you have long anger? Or will you be the quick-fused person who blows up? Will you have the strength to stay with it, to carry the load you must bear? Or will you give up for lack of patience? We think we know what patience is, but then we see the biblical terms, and it becomes very personal. Through adversity, God's patience or long suffering, which we can call long anger, is revealed in you. How well do you do in this area, this wonderful characteristic of God, patience? I'm going to share just real shortly, best that I can, that when I was a young boy, I was a very troubled young man. Not in the way you may think, but I had a terrible, scary temper. My mom and my dad actually came to a discussion at one point where they realized if something doesn't change in Kevin's life, he's going to grow up and he's going to go to prison because he will murder somebody. He will kill somebody with that anger. Now, you probably know me a little bit, and you're looking at me thinking, how could that possibly be, right? Because I haven't expressed that kind of personality. Now, my wife, who knows me better than anybody, can see the glimmers of that battle. There are times where it wants to rise up. But as a boy, I couldn't control it, and there was a point in my life when something was happening that I couldn't hold it any longer, and I was the boiling pot that welled up until it finally would blow. And even my brother, who was about 2 years older, more physically fit, stronger, faster, and smarter in every way, he would stay away from me when I lost my temper because it was scary. Fast forward till I'm about 16 years old. I've got my first vehicle. It's mine. I paid for it with my own hard-earned money. It's sitting in the parking lot. Prior to an incident that took place, I'm driving an old 70 Dodge pickup. Two-wheel drive, got the 318 in it, I believe. And the steering wheel is about this big. How many remember those big steering wheels? And this steering wheel needed some help because you would turn it this far before it would engage. Okay? I grew up driving this thing. I'm 16 years old. I've been driving since I was 7. Truly, that is the case. So I'm driving this vehicle, and my mom and my sister happen to be riding with me on this day. And I'm going 55 miles an hour down the gravel road. Why would I do that? Well, because that's the speed limit. Duh. I'm driving down this gravel road, and I'm having a good old time, and mom is freaking out. She's sitting over there on the passenger side, and it's just a small cab. My sister's in between us, and she is just going frantic. She goes, Kevin, slow down. I'm like, no, I'm a teenager, a little bit on that rebel side, and I'm driving along, and she goes, Kevin, you're going too fast. I said, no, I'm not. I'm doing the speed limit. All the young men said amen, right? This blows up into a terrible, terrible argument. Without going into all the details, I will share the climax of that terrible argument. My mom reached across my sister and slapped me as best she could. Bam! Now let me tell you, when your son has a temper problem and he's already lost control and he's doing 90 miles an hour on the gravel. It's not a good thing. I looked over at my mother with a look that she was scared to the core of her being. And she said, you look at me as if you would kill me. And I said to her with honesty and absolute truthfulness, if I had a gun in my hand, it would already be done. The scary part about it is it's true. I didn't hate my mom, but I couldn't control my temper. My mom answered, I wished I'd never had you. It's probably the lowest point in my life because I knew it was true at that moment. We get back to the farm, and I did a great slide around corner because I knew how to drive. My mom got out, she walked to my pickup, she reached in and grabbed the keys and said, you're done, this is mine. And I'm glad I had good grip and a great quick reflex because I got the keys in one swipe and I took them right back. I said, no, this is mine. I paid for it with my money. If I wouldn't have grabbed it and gotten a hold of the keys, I don't know what I would have done. Why do I share this story? Because that day, I changed. I went into the house. Well, actually, I didn't. I stayed outside. And I marched around the house because I didn't know what to do. I was so upset and so angry. And then I began to cry because I knew that I was a terrible son and I did terrible, did a terrible thing by what I said and what I really felt like doing. And my mom finally came out after about an hour of both of us having just time apart. And she came out crying, and I'm crying. I'm repenting to God because I knew what I did was wrong, but I had to say I'm sorry to my mom. And we made up, and we cried, and we hugged each other. But I knew something had to change. So I spoke to my dad, who also had a temper problem when he was younger. And he said, Kevin, you remember hearing about counting to 10? When you're going to lose your temper? I said, yeah. He said, that's garbage. It doesn't work. I said, well, what am I supposed to do? He said, every time you feel like you're going to lose your temper, you got to remember back, but you felt justified. And you let it happen. Once your temper's out of control, you can't stop it. It's the floodgates open and you're pouring it out. The flood is going to flood the whole area. But before the dam bursts, you let it happen. And he said, when you are at the point where you felt justified, I'm going to blow my top. I have a right to be angry. That's when you got to stop and say, help me, God. Help me. Because I can't stop this thing. That's what you do instead of counting to 10. We prayed, I repented, found forgiveness, and I prayed, Lord, may it be so. It wasn't very long later. Something happened. I don't even remember what it is that happened. I'm thankful for that, but it was similar to the scene I just described. I was justified, I had the right to be angry, and I started to feel it boil up. It's almost like a demonic thing it felt like. Not that I know what that is, but it was horrible, ugly, and full of just terrible rage. It's building up and building up, and I finally just, at the point where I was going to let it happen, I'm justified, I'm going to let this go, and I realized, wait a minute, Dad said ask God for help. And I didn't want to. I honestly didn't want to. And I remember praying a really very righteous prayer. God, help me. I was not a willing servant, but I said, God, help me. And then I waited just a little bit, and it was like this giant balloon that was about to explode slowly lost its air until it was gone. The Holy Spirit did a miracle that day. Even though I wasn't very willing, I did what I was asked. I said, yes, Dad, I'll pray. And I prayed, and God helped me. Long anger. It happened again later on. I remember feeling justified. I should be angry. I'm going to let this go one more time. And I remembered, wait a minute. Dad said pray. It prayed last time. It worked. Okay, I'm going to pray again. God help me. And it just, and pretty soon it just became a natural instinctive response. The long suffering, the long patience, the long anger is a characteristic of the God who's in you. You have no right to lose your temper. Come on. You have no right to be short-fused. Well, that's my personality. I don't care. I don't care what your personality is because I know the person who's in you, and that's not him. Come on. You might have a harder time controlling a quick fuse reaction. My brother's the quick fuse. I'd be goofing around, and he'd get mad. Bam! Oh, what happened? What'd you do that for? Well, you made me mad. Fine. I wasn't even getting warmed up yet. And then he was doing, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. I'm like, okay, I wasn't even partway to angry, and he's already mad, and then he's done. I'm like, that must be nice. Just get it over with so quick. But still, patience. My brother had to learn how not to be quick-fused. I had to learn not to blow up and be gigantic scary. And God did a miracle in my life, and it's never been the same again. Now, I would love to tell you I've never struggled with losing my temper, but that's not the case. That's not true. There are times where the battle is hard, and I want to encourage you that you can win the battle. Patience is one of the characteristics of God, and you can know that He who is in you can express Himself through your life because He, too, is patient. Look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Verse 6 and verse 7. The Lord passed in front of Moses proclaiming, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate, the gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. The Lord himself is described here as one who is gracious, compassionate, and slow to anger. That is someone who has patience. It is his character. It is who he is. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He is slow to anger with you. Does that kind of settle a little bit closer to home now? He's patient with you. Do, 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 do. Twiddling his thumbs. Do, 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 do. Do-do-do-do-do. What do I do? What do I do? I should come back, but I'll be patient. No, he's slow to anger. What does that mean? That means he's got a right to be angry. He has a right to be angry with the state of our country, with the state of our world, with the corruption, the evil that's taking place. Amen? He has a right to be angry with the church that isn't following his commands and witnessing and sharing the love of God with others. He has a right to be angry about all the people who want to resist him, constantly resist him, but he is slow to anger. Not wanting you, if you don't know him, or anyone else to perish. God's patience is for the sake of the lost. If we're honest, there are times where we do not have that patience. We see evil and we want to react. If you don't believe me, get a Facebook account. Come on. Apparently there's some chat thing I must have liked, something in the community, and the guy got upset, so he took it off. That happened last night, by the way, if you weren't paying attention. And then he turned it back on again. I don't know what that's all about, but basically people were complaining and using bad language, and he said, "This is done." And he's in charge of this community thing for Facebook. And I thought, wow, does that ever connect with where we're at in the message today? Are you slow to anger? Are you slow to become angry with things that happen around you? Do you want the evil to be punished right now? Well, let me ask you, how many times have you prayed for ISIS? Maybe you should. Did you know that the fastest growing population of new believers today is coming from Islam? It is. It's not happening here. It's happening in places where you die if you convert to Christianity. That's where the fastest growing number of new believers is coming from. We say we want revival here. Amen? But we just got it too easy. It's too easy to serve the Lord. It's kind of a thing. Everybody's Christians in America, right? No. No. But it's a lot easier to serve Christ here than it is in some parts of the world. What do we know about patience? Patience is not optional. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to say something you're not going to like. I've probably already done that. I do that from time to time. But I'm going to say something that flies in the face of what you're told every day. You do not have the right to become angry. As a matter of fact, you do not have rights. You've given your rights to God. He is the one who calls the shots. In our country today, we have so many reactions because I have a right for this, or I have a right for that, or I'm offended by this, or I'm offended by that. Wow, what a world we live. What a challenge it is. But here's the thing, it happens in the church too. It's easy to say it happens out there. It's easy to say, well, it happened down south. They're pulling down statues. What are they thinking? It's history. Why are we reacting so crazy-like over these things? Do I want to honor a slave owner? No, I don't. But I'm not going to ignore history. There's actually something to be learned from mistakes, am I right? No, let's not go put a statue up and let's honor somebody who hated God and or any other crazy thing, but why are we so reactionary today? Because we have rights. I have a right to be offended. I have a right to be angry. I have a right. No, you don't. And that's one thing I learned real quick as I was working through this temper issue. I realized Kevin Peterson is dead. Kevin Peterson is crucified daily. Jesus said, take up your cross every day. And every time I wanted to get angry, God said, you don't have a right to be mad. I'm like, well, that's not fair. I should be able to be angry and mad and react. I mean, people need to know how I feel. No, God says, they don't. You gave up your rights when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Let me tell you, you have to be humble in order to be patient. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And here's the one that we already read before. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Patience and peace and humbleness all go together. You will make the effort for peace in the church, in your family, in your community, in your world, in your country. You do not have a right to react. You do not have a right to be short-fused. You do not have a right to be totally blown away with your angers and you're going to tell the world. You have given those rights to Jesus Christ and you are to be patient. You are to be humble. You are to be gentle and you are going to make the effort for peace no matter what it takes. As far as it is concerned for you, you will make the effort for peace. You do not have a right to lose patience, even though you wished you had. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. You might say, well, where's the word patient here? It's there. It's there in so many words. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That is a great passage of Scripture defining for us patience. Patience. It's patience intertwined with joy. Without patience, you will not be complete. Isn't that interesting? It's like, whoa, Lord, can you make it a little easier, please? I mean, there's times where you just get tired and you want to just give up and let it all go. God says, no, no. James chapter 1, we're still there, verse 19 and verse 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Patience and righteousness go hand in hand. Slow to become angry is patience. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Let's look at that one real quick. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I used to wonder, what is that all about? Preach the word, teach, correct, rebuke with patience. I don't get it. Oh, don't get angry when they don't listen to you. Come on. Well, that's the last time I ever share my love and faith to that person. Ugh. They just totally wrote me off. No, 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 no. Be patient, slow to be angry. Love them. Well, They're not loving me. Why should I love them? Oh, is that how that works? I was thinking before you were ever forgiven, Jesus died for you, right? He loved us first, and we're supposed to be like him, right? Isn't this a wonderful message? You guys are like deer in the headlights, like, can this end soon, please? You're running out of patience with me. I'm sorry. I'm just the voice. I'm just relaying God's word to you. You got to be upset with him if you're going to get upset at all, right? I get this. I'm a preacher. And there are so many times where I'd love to walk into your life and fix your problems, because I could probably fix your problem for you if I were you, right? How many feel that way sometimes? I love the sermon that got so deep one time, and I'm listening to this guy preach. And he gets onto this really good point about how we have the tendency to go off this path and do bad things. And he looks at us and he goes, stop it! Just stop doing that. And I was thinking, preach it, brother. There are so many times where I'd just like to step into your life for just that moment, wherever it is that you struggle. Now, you can do the same for me, but I'm just talking for you right now. And I would just say, stop it. Don't do that. And now next time you can tell me that now, okay? When the Vikings lose a game, you have patience, right? Long-suffering, slow to become angry. Here's just a real good temperature for you, for those of you who like sports. I want to just ask, this is personal, don't raise your hand, don't answer out loud, but I want to know, how do you react when the ref makes a bad call? Come on now, come on. I hope that if you can relate to that scenario, you find patience, and if it's not there, you need to pray for it. Now, you're probably wondering if I was going to ask about some politician saying something against someone you support. No, I'm going right where it's home, when the ref makes the wrong call. Because that's real. That's gut instinct. How well do you do? That's for you to decide. James chapter 5, the last passage we're going to look at, and you're going to be so relieved because we get to get off of this message of patience. I'm ready to get off of this message too. It's a tough one. James chapter 5. I'll get there. Have patience. I don't know. My fingers weren't doing the walking. How many remember that old commercial? The fingers doing the walking, the yellow pages? I don't know. I remember things like E.F. Hutton. I don't know why, but everybody listened to him. That's getting way back there, by the way. James 5, verse 7, it says, be patient then, brothers, until next Sunday. No. Be patient until Jesus comes. Really? Really, Lord? You're going to pull that one on us? Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. And trust me, patience in a farmer's life is difficult. Amen? All the farmers and ranchers. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, there's the connection, long-suffering and suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. There's the word perseverance, tying it to patience, which that's why I read the James chapter 1 verse. Consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You want an example of scripture that will remind you of what it is to be patient? Go back to James chapter 5 and read verse 7 through 11 every day until you get it, if that's what you got to do. A farmer demonstrates patience. There's nothing he can do to speed up the growing of the crop. Am I right? Why are you wringing your hands and pacing back and forth and marching up and down the fields? You can't make it grow any faster. You can't make the rain come, which we all would love to see happen. So you got to be patient under that burden, continuing on. Long-suffering, slow to angry. God, where is this happening? Where is the crops? I saw this every year of my life growing up. I used to wonder if God was schizophrenic sometimes. Because one guy's praying for rain, the other guy's praying the rain would stop, and I'm wondering, what's God going to do? Right? They're both believers. They both love Jesus. Why are they praying against each other? It happens. That's weird. I knew a guy that took out hail insurance, prayed for hail. And you want to know the weird thing? He got totally hailed out, and he comes to church just praising God. He's so excited. Hallelujah. We're like, what happened to you? He goes, I got hailed out. I'm like, what? My dad was, what? He goes, you don't understand. I took out the most expensive hail insurance. I got hailed out. God answered my prayer. And he goes, there's the cool thing. Nobody else got hail. I'm thinking, what in the world? That's the coolest story I've ever heard. For a farmer, that is. And he apparently made a great profit that year. Nobody else did because it was a drought year. I don't know. It's crazy. And I thought, boy, I'm glad I'm not God. Well, okay, let's see. Where can we put hail here today? How about that guy? He's got hail insurance. I don't know. Sometimes you just got to let him be God and just walk away. Patience is hard. It's meant to be that way. You gave your rights to the Lord, and his characteristic of patience is in you. Don't react. Let the Spirit of God work through you. If you have a weakness there, do what I did. God, help me. I needed help. I needed transformation. When I was 12 years old, my mom and dad got me a puppy for Christmas. Not my older brother, who always got everything first. Not my younger sister, who got everything. Love you, Cammy, if you're listening. It wasn't until I was an adult that I found out it's because they were worried that this young boy is going to grow up and go to prison someday. So they did what they thought they could to try and change it, to show a little extra love and attention to the middle child syndrome boy. Trust me, if you ever study middle child syndrome, I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's me. I was embarrassed at college. Tina was in the class, I think, with me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm slinking further and further down in my seat. They're talking about me in class. Yeah, I had it all. All the negatives, the insecurities. But God changed me. And he can change you. Would you stand with me as we close?